Begin the current daf from Sach of Sachem daf Samach Gimel. Begin on the bottom of Samach Beis Med Beis, four lines up from the bottom of the Yamed, where the Gemara continues discussing our Mishnah on daf Samach Alf. And that is, our Mishnah said that the Karban Pesach has to be slaughtered, has to be shechted, has to be l'shem Eichlov, l'shem Menuyev, all the people that are fit to eat from this Karban. As it says, Ishla Fei Achlei Techaisu, that the Karban has to be slaughtered for those that could consume it. Therefore, if one shechts it for our Reilim, for those that are uncircumcised, that's going to be invalid. However, if it was slaughtered l'shem for Arlim and for Malim, for people that are circumcised and uncircumcised, then the Mishnah said it's going to be kosher, because as long as some of them are Malim, that they're fit to eat it, that's already going to be kosher, as because the Gemara had explained that it's only if it's totally arayless, then either because of Zeis or because of Kol Aral. However, either way, that the Gemara had taught us that it's only if it's entirely the Machshav for Arayim, then it's going to be invalid. But if some of them are going to be malin, then it's not going to be invalid. Now, Gemara quotes a brisa now that argues on our Mishnah. Tanya Litna brisa, Acheir Maimrim, others say that it depends. Even if you're having malim and arelim, it would depend on what the order was, if it's going to be kosher or not. Hikdim moilim la arelim kosher. If they first had the machshava of it being slaughtered for those who are circumcised, then it's going to be kosher. Arelim la moilim pas, however, if first the thought was on those that are uncircumcised, before the thought for those that are circumcised, then it's going to be invalid. Which the Gemara right away asks, Maishna moilim la arelim the kosher, why is it any different when you first have the intent for those that are, let's say there's a group of people for the Karban Pesach, and from that Chaburah, some are circumcised, some are not. Now, what would be the difference if you first had a Machshava for the circumcised people, and then the Arelim, that's going to be Kasher, and the reason is the Kula Arela Be'in and Baleka, as we had explained on the previous daf, that what you need to have is the entirety of the Machshava has to be for those that are uncircumcised. So therefore, if you first have the Malin, so definitely it's not the whole thing for Arelim, because you start off with Malin, that's why it's Kasher, Arelim lamoilim nami, but then even in the case where they first had the machshava by the slaughtering of those who are uncircumcised, and then later on had the machshava for the malin, they're also kula arelim bein veleke. You need for it to be pasul to have a machshava only for arelis, only for those that are uncircumcised. And here you don't have that, because even though you first had for arelim, but then you ultimately had for malim too, and therefore it's not only for arelim, and therefore it should be kosher. What's the understanding in this opinion of the Acherim? So continue on top of Samach Gilma and Alf, where the Gemara attempts to understand this opinion. First, the Gemara says, Lema kesavra achirim. Let's say that these achirim, they hold that eina l'shchita ela b'sayf, that the slaughtering for it to have a machshava of psul is only at the end, and that the actual chalais of shchita, the actual process of the shchita in its definition, is only at the end when it's completed. Ukde Rava, like Rava explains in the second perek of Masechta Zvachim, the Amar Rava, that Rava says, Adayin he machlekes, it's still a machlekes. Now, what this actually means, Rashi explains and elaborates on this. Regarding what was mentioned in the previous staff, that there's a machlekes between Rav Meir and Rav Yosi, if one is toughest Lashon Rishon, if we go in regards to what the person first said, or even af bigmar dvar vav adam nitvas, that a person is even held accountable for what he ended up saying, not only what he first started off. Which we had mentioned was regarding a case where someone took an animal and said, this animal is going to be a tamura of an oila and a tamura of a shlamim, which is that it's going to be the exchange for these two types of karbanas. Now, it definitely can't be both. So what's the halacha? Rav Meir says it's going to be a tumuras oila, because we say tavas lashon rishon, the first definition that he gave is the one that has the halachic status, and therefore, since he said first oila, it's an oila. Rabbi Yossi argues, and he says, no, his words are held both for what he first said and then what he ultimately ended up saying, which is bigmar dvar vatim nitvas, which how can you have both? So he says, you sell it, and then you buy half with it an oila and half with it a shlam. Now the Gemara in Zvachim had the following question. Let's say it wasn't that, as we had quoted the case before, which was tumuras oila, tumuras ashlam, where it can't, ashlam, that it can't be both, and therefore we have this machlekes. Let's say he said, chetzi oila v'chetzi shlam. Let half of it be an oila and half of it be a shlam. Would we say that the Ramei would agree that it would be both or not? And that is, the understanding of that question was, do we say, what is the understanding of the principle of Ramei that we say tavos lashon rishon? Is it because he considers that generally what it is, when you first say one definition and then you say another definition, that means you're changing your mind. But once the first definition, let's say in the case of let it be oila or shlam, that once the oila was first chal, that it already acquired that status, so then it cannot be removed by retracting it. But in the case where you say half-half, let it be half oila, half shlam, then there is no retraction. I want it to be both. I first said half, and now there's still room for another half. So then Rav Meir would agree that there it would be both. Or do you say that no? That since already, once you said the first Kedusha, it's already nispashed, it already manifests throughout the whole entire animal, and therefore it cannot be a shlam anymore if it's already oily, even if you said on half. So on that, there's a machlokes in the Gemara. Abaye says that in this case, definitely Rav Meir agrees, because there's no retraction over here. The whole reason why he says when tumur is oily, tumur is shlam, is because you want to retract. You can't retract. Therefore, we say tavas lashon rishon. But here, there's no retraction. I want to be half this, half that. Of course, it's going to be both. Rava argues, and he says no. That it's still, and that's the term that our Gemara is quoting, a dayin hi machlokes, this is still the machlokes, and that is because he says Rav Meir would argue in this case and still say tavas lashon rishon, because it is nispashet, the first thing that you said, that it should be even chatzi oila, the entire animal becomes an oila. And now, over there, the Gemara brings that Rava had asked on Abaya from the following halacha, that if someone slaughters a carbon to eat a kazayas of it outside of its geographical location that's allowed to be, and a kazayas of it in a different outside of its designated time, not out of its place. There's two psulim out of its place and out of its time. Where there's a machlekes that Rabbi Yehuda argues under Rabbanan, and Rabbi Yehuda says, like the opinion of Rabbi Meir, that in that type of case, you'll say tavas lashon rishon, which he says the general rule is, that whenever you have the machshava of zman, which means to say pigle eating out of its designated time, that it comes before the machshava of makim, which is eating it out of its place that's allowed to be, it has the halachic status of pigle, and one would be chayiv karas in that, because you say tavas lashon rishon, which the first term that he said was the pigle, not the chutz lamakim. And it doesn't make a difference if it was in one avoida or in two different avoidas. For example, if let's say he first had the machshava of by the second avoida that he had the machshava's psul, which was after the first machshava of the first avoida that he had by pigel, that second machshava of chutz lamakim is not going to remove it from the machshava of chutz asmana of pigel, because the Rabbi Huda says that even there we say tavas lashon rishon, whereas the Rabbanan argue, and they say that no, like Rabbi Yaisi, that even begmar devar v'adam nitvas, and therefore, since it was in one avodah that we have these two different machshavas, so therefore you didn't have the matter, the permitter, which is what allows it to become pigul, is when you have that the entire matter, the permitters are brought kimitzvah as it's supposed to be. And we need that there cannot be any other psulim besides the actual psul of pigul, because as we had explained in the previous daf, it says hartzah, just like it says hartzah by kasher, so too by pasul, by pigul, and therefore just like that by a kasher, it has to be all the permitters. All the avoidas have to be done properly. Here also has to be done either properly or at least with the machshava of pigel. But if you do a different machshava of chutz l'mukayme, which is different, that will remove it from pigel. And therefore the Rabban say that since the bigmar devar v'ad mitvus, even what you end off with, which is chutz l'mukayme, will take away from the chutz l'zman that you had in the beginning. So that was what Rava had quoted, that machlekes. Now, Rava proves, not like Abaye, he says, obviously you see that the man da amel that holds tavas lashon rishon holds it even in the case where it's fifth, where it's half and half. Where, in other words, where it's possible that you didn't retract from what you originally said. And the reason is because that's exactly the case that Rehud is arguing on, that he's going in the opinion of Reb Meir, where there's many zaysim in one animal. It's a huge animal. Zays is not so big. And yet, in spite of that, Rehud argues, and he says, Tafas Lashon Rishon. You only go if the first kezayis was for chutz lezmanoi, which is pigel. Even if the next kezayis is chutz lemkaimoi, you're going to say that it will be pigel. And that is because even though you could have both, it's not a nimlach case of retracting, still we say Tafas Lashon Rishon. So that's why Rava says, obviously you see, like what I say, that adayin hi machlokes, that Remei would argue, even in the case where it's possible for both, still we say that the first one is the primary one. To which Abaye responded to that, says, what do you mean? Do you think that the slaughtering, the shechita, the actual definition of slaughtering is only at the end when it's completed, and therefore you're trying to say that it was one machshava, which was at one point of time, which was at the end? That's not true, Abaye says. Shechita is an entire process from the beginning when you started, all the way to the end. And therefore, I could explain to you why over there it's going to be tavas lashon rishon. Not because it's like even like you're saying that even when it's possible 50-50, because it's talking about where the first simon, there are two simon, there are two pipes that are in the animal, the windpipe and the food pipe. So therefore, if the first simon that was cut, the first pipe, was for the machshava of let it be, I want to eat it after the designated time. The second pipe, since we're saying the whole shechita is a long process, which is you could have the machshava anywhere along the way, then the second pipe was cut with the intention of eating it outside of its place. Now, and Reb Meir holds, and the Gemara will elaborate on this later, but however, Abaye's opinion is that the understanding of that machlokes Reb Yehuda and the Rabban is, because Reb Meir holds that you could do pigel with one simen. And therefore, it's not because it's 50-50. It's a complete pigul. In other words, it's on one thing. Now, that's what Abaye responds. And the Gemara will elaborate on Abaye's opinion shortly. However, what one thing the Gemara is proving is that what you see from Rava, that he did ask from that halacha, that obviously he holds that according to Rameh and Rabbi Yehuda, that Shechita is not a long process. It's not through the first pipe and through the second pipe. You can't answer me such a point, because or else he wouldn't have a riot to his case. Obviously, it's only when it's completed. And it's one machshava at the end of the Shechita. And since it's one machshava, that was his raya, not like Abaye, that in this case, you can't have a retraction, because it was a machshava by two different zaysim. You're not retracting one thing. And in spite of that, still Remei and Behuda argue. And that's what our Gemara says over here. Our Gemara says, to answer the question that was asked, that what's the difference? Which one was first, Moilin or Reilin? It's still ultimately both Moilin and Reilin, and it's not Kula Reilin, so therefore it should be a Kasher Karm Pesach. And that our Gemara says that, let's say that the Acherim, who that's the opinion of Remeir, holds Einer L'Shechita El B'Sleif, that the slaughtering only happens at the end. And therefore, their entire Machshava of the Shechita will only help only if you have the Machshava when it's ending, which is like Rava that says over there, as we quote in the Gemara, Adayin Hi Machloikis, it's still a Machloikis, even in the case of when you say that I want part of it to be like this, part of it to be like that. You don't say that it's both, even though that's feasible and it doesn't require retraction. And we'll still say Tapas Lashon Rishon. So obviously, that Remeir holds that Einu L'Shechita El B'Sleif, that the slaughtering only happens at the end. And that's who the Acherim are. That's Remeir, who in throughout Chas is called Acherim. And therefore, which is the main point that the Gemara is getting with this, is that at the end of the Shechita, it's not possible, there's no time to have a verbalization, which is what Machshava is by Kadshim, of two things. There's only one, it's like that 1 second when you're finishing it, you're either doing it for Moilin or Arelim. And therefore, that's the reason for the Brisa, for the Cherim, why it makes a difference which one you do first, as the Gemara explains. Hilkach, therefore, hiktim moilin arelim, if you first do, when you're finishing off the Shechita, you first preface that you want it to be for those who are circumcised before you say for the uncircumcised. So, there's only time for one and not for the other. So, moilin chayli, it's chal, the actual status is for those that are circumcised, arelim lechayli. There's no time. Once you did it already for moilin, the arelim already is post the Shechita, you already finished it, and therefore there's no status of it being done for that arelim, and therefore it's going to be kosher. Whereas hiktim arelim lemoilim, that's what the Acherim say. But if you first do it for those that are uncircumcised before the circumcised, arelim chayli, so that means that it was chal for those that are uncircumcised, and therefore essentially it's like it is like the whole shechita was kula arelis, was only for arelim, and that's what's going to be possible moilim lechayli. However, it wasn't chal for those that are circumcised. That's what the Gemara wants to say to explain the opinion of the Acherim. Why they, although they have to agree to the halacha that it's kula arelis, and they do. So why do they say that even if you have both arelim and malim, that it will depend which one's first to say if it's going to be kosher or not? That's because they hold a grava that ain't l'shchita el b'saif, and since it's only that one split second or however long it takes, only room for one, that's what will depend if it's going to be only arelim or malim. And that the Gemara says, I'm a rabba. Like, it's not true. You don't have to say that the Acherim hold like Rava's interpretation of Remeir's opinion in regards to this halacha of Tavas Lashon Rishon. Lo'ilam Kisavri, you could really say Acherim, that these Acherim hold Yeshna L'Shechita Mitzchila Atzaf. That they hold like Abaye's interpretation, not like Rava, and that the Shechita takes the entire process of when you start slaughtering all the way to the end. And here what we're talking about, that we are taught that if you do the Arelim first before the Meilim, that it's going to be Pasul. Why is that? That's a different halacha. That's kagoyin shegamar b'libi l'tarvayu, where he made up in his heart that he's going to do both. He wanted to have the machshava bein l'mailim, bein l'arelim. Let's say there's a group of people that are on this carbon and they're malim and arelim. He wanted to have in mind for both. However, v'haitzi b'piv l'arelim. However, he ultimately only verbalized that it should be for those that are uncircumcised. He didn't get a chance to say that he wants to do it also for those that are circumcised until he already completed the Shechita. And they reminded him, oh, wait a second. There were other people in the group that were circumcised, but he forgot to say it. And this is what Remeir, who are the Acherim, are arguing on our Mishnah of the Rabbanan. The Remeir Sover, We don't need that the heart and the mouth have to be the same on the same board. And therefore, ultimately, what we go after is what the person says. And since he only ultimately said the arelis, so it's considered kula arla. And even though in his heart he wanted to do it for the malam too, that doesn't make a difference. And therefore, it's going to be possible. Rabban sabi, the Rabban hold. Be'inon piv v'libay shavan. However, the Rabban say that no, we need to have the mouth and the heart the same. And therefore, since in the heart you wanted to do it also for the malam, therefore it's going to be kosher because ultimately you didn't want it for only arelim, and therefore it's not considered kula arelis. And that's the explanation of what the Achaim say in the brisa that we quoted, that this, that you do it for malam arelim. If you first do it for malam, that means you're doing malam, and then you're doing arelis too. But if you first did arelis, it means to say, but then you forgot to do the second one, the malam, that you wanted to do, that is going to be possible because that will be considered kula arelis. But on this, the Gemara asks, on this interpretation of Rabbah, is it really true? The way you're trying to interpret the Remei holds, you don't need it to be the same, and therefore, since you only verbalize arelis, it's going to be possible because it's going to be considered kula arelis. But Reminu seems a contradiction from a Mishnah Mesechtas Trumas that says, Hamaskavon loy metruma vama maiser. Let's say someone was intending to designate something as truma, but his mouth ended up saying maiser, or maiser vama truma. He wanted to say maiser, but he ended up saying truma. Or she'ini nichnas labayizev amalze. He wanted to say, I'm not going to go into this house, but he ultimately said this house. Or she'ini nenalze. He wanted to say, I'm not going to have enough for this person, and then vamalze. He ended up saying this person. Loyamaklum. It's not considered significant as anything. Atshiyu pivvali b'shaven. Until what you meant to say, which was in your heart, is actually what you ended up verbalizing with your lips. That they have to be on board. They have to be the same. Now the question is, that's a stam mishnah. That's an anonymous Mishnah, which generally we say Stam Mishnah is Remeir, and therefore how could you say Remeir holds that you don't need them to be Shavin, when clearly the Mishnah says, which we assume is like Remeir, that they do have to be the same, and therefore how can you say that if he had in mind to do the Arelim and the Malim, but he only said Arelim, that it's going to be Puzzle? Elama Abaye, rather Abaye says, and again this is Abaye as we had quoted before from Rashi Masechta Zvachim, who he interprets the opinion of Achim of Remeir, how he interprets over the Masechta Zvachim. Reisha, the Amar Simen Rishon Lamayim, the Reisha of the Brice of the Achim was talking about, where the first Simen, the first of the pipes that he's slaughtering, was designated for those that are circumcised. The Simen Sheni Af Arelim, and the second pipe, as he's cutting, he intended also for those that are uncircumcised. And that is, when he first did the first pipe, as he's cutting, he only intended what he ultimately ended up saying from his lips, which was for the Malan. Now, the second Simen, he added on to his thought process, which was also farelim. And therefore, it's going to be kasher, because the besimen sheni, nami pesichi beimailin. That's because in the second pipe, there's also mixed in for those that I'm circumcised. And therefore, since it's not kula arelis, as we had explained in the previous staff, for it to be possible with machshava of slaughtering the carbon pesach for an aral, it has to be b'chol aral, has to be totally for an aral. And therefore, here, since the first one was only mount, and the second one was both, when you added on arelim to the mound that you had already in the first simon, but however, since the second one has both, it's going to be kasher. Seifa, the amar simon rishon la arelim. The seifa that we said that when you have first arelim, then mound, that's going to be pasul, is because the first simon, the first pipe that you're cutting, was totally for arelim. Now simon sheni lamailim. Now the second simon was added on to be for those that are circumcised. Now, since the besimen rishon holy psichi beimaylin, and that the reason why it's going to be possible in that case is since the first pipe that you cut was not mixed in anything with those that are circumcised, and therefore since you had, as the brisa had said of the achim, you had prefaced the arelim to the maylin, that means the first simen was totally completed only for arelim, and therefore this is what the machlekas was dependent on. Rameir l'tamei da'amar Rameir goes according to his opinion that he mentions the mesechtes menachos that mefaglin. That we consider a machshava of pigel bechatzi mater, even in a half a permitter. And that is because this is considered half a permitter, because truthfully, shchita, for it to be considered a kasher shchita to permit the carbon, is only if both simanim, both pipes are slaughtered. And here, we're doing pigel, which means having an improper machshava of chutzlis manai, by a half a permitter, which was only for arelim, in this case a psul of machshava, was only by the first pipe, because the second pipe you already added on malin. So Remeir's l'shita said that he's going to be considering it a psul legamri, that is going to be a full-fledged machshava psul for arelim, kula arelis, because you could do a machshava psula, as he says by pigel, in a half a matter, which is what the first pipe was. Rabbanu Tamei, however, Rabbanu go according to their opinion, the Amma that they say, Ein mefagel mechatzi mata, that you cannot do pigel in only a half a permitter. And therefore, since even if you would say that if you're going to do the arelus before the malin, and that is in the first simon, you're going to do just for arelus, and the second simon you can add on malin, the Rabbon would say it's still going to be a kosher animal. Because pigel or any machshava's psul, which in this case is for kol oral to have a machshava of arelus, which has to be totally arelus, would have to be in the entire process of shchita, which is in both simonim. And since he only did in half of the matter and not in the whole thing, which would be both pipes, therefore it's not going to be a machshava psul of kula arelus, because already in the second pipe you already had the machshava for the mal noso. And that is this machlikus remainder of banan, is that the Mishnah mentions that if someone did pigel, he had a machshava of psul in the kmitza, which is in the taking of the flower in one's fist, but not in the levain, in the frankincense, or in the frankincense, but not in the kmitza, which means to say ultimately that you had a machshava of psul in sacrificing one of them to eat from what's left over tomorrow, which would be la'achar zman, which would be machshavas of pigel. So therefore, you're only having a machshava in half of the matter, because to permit the eating of the mincha, you have to do two processes. You have to do the kmitza and the levaina. So since you only have a machshava in one of them, Remeir still says it's going to be pigel, as we mentioned in our Gemara, that a chatzi matter is considered a mefagel. And Chacham says there's no karis until you mefagel in the entire matter. And again, that's why they argue on the Achayim, and they say, and again, this is a bayit l'shitasai, that he says that the shchita is mitchila v'ad saif, and it's not a riot to say that the opinion of the Achayim was like Rava. And that's why, again, the Rabban say that it's going to be kasher, because you're not having kula relis by both simon and by both pipes, which to be considered a pigel, or machshava psul of, in our case, of a reilis, has to be in the entire matter, and the entire matter of shchita is by both simanim. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme about invalidations of the Karban Pesach, specifically regarding the shchita, the slaughtering of the Karban Pesach. So the Mishnah has a three-way machloikis. Hashechet es ha-pesach al-chametz. Regarding this psul of slaughtering a Karban Pesach when you still have chametz in your possession, which is a pasuk in the Torah that says you're not allowed to. So the first opinion says that if someone slaughters a Karban Pesach al ha-chametz, when he still has chametz in his possession, even to say you violate the negative prohibition that says in the Torah, leisishchad al chametz begaymed, which is the pasuk of that you not have chametz in your possession when it's time for the slaughtering of the Karban Pesach. Behudaimer, he says afatamid, even the Karban Tamid that's brought every single day shall bein harbayim in the evening on erev Pesach. If you slaughtered that Karban Tamid when you still had chametz, you're going to be violating that isser of leisishchad al chametz even on that Karban Tamid, and the Gemara is going to explain the reason for this. B'shimon Amar, the third opinion on Mishnah, he says, HaPesach ba'arba aser. Regarding a Karban Pesach that's brought on the 14th of Nisan, which is Erev Pesach when it's supposed to be brought, if he slaughtered that Karban Pesach when he still has chametz in his possession, L'shmoy chayiv, if it was brought for the intention of a Karban Pesach, then he's going to be chayiv because of this Isra of L'sishchat al chametz, because that's a kosher Pesach, you're doing it in the proper time with the proper kavana lishma. Therefore, that's considered a shchita ruya, a full-fledged shchita that you could be chayiv on this Isra of L'sishchat, of not slaughtering when you still have chametz. However, v'shaloy l'shmoy patr, if you slaughter the Karban Pesach on Erev Pesach, not for its namesake, let's for a different Karban, for a Karban Shlamim, where that would be an invalidation of the Karban Pesach, and that's what's called in the terminology that Reb Shimon mentions throughout Shas and Chulin and in Masechtas Baba Kama, that shchita she'ena ruya, a slaughtering that's not fit. In other words, it's not kashering the animal by doing the shchita, because it's not a shchita that's permitting it, which in our case, when you do it shalai l'shma, doesn't permit it. Lav shma shchita, that's not considered a shchita. And therefore, since it's not considered a shchita that's permitting the animal, which is what shchita is supposed to do, that's not going to be a violation of slaughtering when you're having a chametz in your possession, because it's not considered a shchita. So if you did a shalei l'shma, you're going to be patur. Regarding Ushar Kolas Vachem, regarding all other karbanis, which were slaughtered on the 14th of Nisan after Chatzais, when you still have chametz, which is the time when you bring a Karban Pesach, then bein lishman, bein shalishman, then whether you bring it for the namesake of that Karban or not for its namesake, then it's go and which and that is although that they're kosher in either way, whether you bring it lishma or not lishma, as the Gemara, the first daf Masechet Zevachim explains that any carbon that's brought shaloi lishma is still going to be kosher, except for the exceptions of Pesach and Chatas. Still putter, one is going to be exempt, as the Gemara is going to explain, because at a time when you're chayiv on the carbon Pesach, then you're not chayiv on the other karbanis. And that's why we're talking about over here on Yudal Nisan after Chatzis, that other karbanis you're going to be exempt even though you have chametz. However, ubamoyed, however, during the Yom Tov Pesach, then lishmai, if you slaughter the carbon Pesach for its namesake, when you still have chametz, then putter, you're going to be exempt from the Issa B'loi Sishchat. And the reason is because once it's already on the Yom Tov of Nisan, it's already past Yudal Nisan, when it's throughout the Yom Tov of Pesach, that's considered Pesach Shaloi Bezmani, which is only Zman on Yudal Nisan, even though it's on Pesach. So therefore, when you're doing it Lishmoy of Pesach, it's an invalid carbon. So essentially, that fits into Reb Shimon's category of a Shechita She'ein Eruya. If it's Shechita She'ein Eruya, it's not permitting the animal, because it's invalid when you're doing it for the namesake of Pesach, not on Yudal Nisan. So therefore, you're going to be exempt. However, Shaloi Lishmoy, if you slaughter the carbon Pesach on Pesach, not for its namesake, rather for a carbon shlomim, then chai, then you would be liable, because that's exactly what a carbon Pesach is, not on Yudal Nisan. It becomes a carbon shlomim, and therefore essentially it's a shchita ruya. It is a legitimate shchita, and therefore you're going to be chayiv on this isra b'lo yisishchit, together with the isra of obviously of having chametz b'lo yira and lo yimotze, and there's also going to be malchus on the shchita. So therefore you're going to be chayiv. Now, regarding Yom Tov Ushar Kol HaZvachim, and regarding all other karbanas that were slaughtered on the Yom Tov of Pesach when you still have chametz, then Bein Lishman, Bein Shelo Lishman Chayev. Then, whether you do it for its namesake or not, you're going to be Chayev, because since they are considered valid Shechitas, and therefore, the Gemara is going to explain that the Isser of Leisishchit was said not only for regarding Karban Pesach, it was said regarding all karbanas. However, chutz min achatas sheshachta shleshma. However, B'Shimon concludes, he says, except for a carbon chatas that was slaughtered shaloi lishma on essentially any time, because since a carbon chatas that's slaughtered shaloi lishma is totally invalid, as the first Mishnah Masechet Zevachim says, that although every carbon, if it's slaughtered shaloi lishma, it's still a kosher carbon, it's just not olu l'bayil mashem chayva, the exception is carbon Pesach and chatas. And the reason is that since it says by chatas, by the slaughtering of chatas, it says chatas hi, it is a chatas, the he is a miut, it diminishes, and it says, however, it's not a chatas if it's slaughtered shaloi lishma, not for the namesake of chatas, and therefore, again, if you slaughter a karmel chatas shaloi lishma, anytime, it's a shechita she'ein eruya, and according to Reb Shimon, if it's a shechita she'ein eruya, it's not a legitimate shechita, it's not considered a loy shishchet al chametz that it was slaughtered when you slaughtered chametz in your possession, then you're going to be exempt. Now the Gemara discusses this halacha of our Mishnah again, which was the isser of slaughtering either carbon Pesach or carbon Tamid or any carbon when you have chametz in your possession. So Amar Hashem Milakish, Lo'olam ein chayiv. In truth, you're never chayiv for this iser, which is going to be a machlekes. Hashem Milakish says, Achei chametz l'sheichet, unless if at least the one who's slaughtering the carbon Pesach has chametz. Now, as Rashi explains this halacha, that although it says in the pasuk al chametz, and I'll slaughter the carbon Pesach when there's still chametz around, and it doesn't say who has it. However, if there was chametz for anyone that's not from the people of the group of this carbon Pesach that you're slaughtering at that time, so even if that person is together with these people who are slaughtering their carbon Pesach in the Azara, and those that are slaughtering the carbon Pesach see this person have chametz and they warn him, they're still not over of the Isra of don't slaughter your Pesach al chametz when this chametz around, as the Gemara later on will explain from a comparison of a hekesh of the where it says in the pasuk leishishchet, and the same pasuk it says layolin, that whoever is included in the isra of halana of leaving this carbon over to, throughout the night to the following morning, which only applies to those that are part of the carbon, they're part of the chabura, they're included in this isra of the shechita when there's still chametz around. And therefore, if there is one of the people of the group, which includes all these people, the one that's shechting or whatever, that they will, if they have chametz, then there's going to be the issa of l'sishcha al chametz, dam zivchi, but however, it doesn't include anybody else that's not part of the group. So therefore, that includes until if at least the sheichid has, or lezarek, or the one that's throwing the blood, and that is because as the Gemara learns, as the brought in the Mechilta, that it learns out zrika from midam zivachacha, which includes also the blood, is also going to be part of the issa, not just shechita, but even zrika, if they have chametz at that time, we continue on to Amud Beis, or le'echad memnei chaburu, or even if one of the people of the group that's not slaughtering and they're not throwing the blood, if they have chametz, that's going to be a violation of this Issa of Leisishchit al-Chametz. But however, this Reb Shimon Lakish's opinion, he holds it, but only if they're with him in the Azar, in the courtyard at that time. Then, but if they're home with their chametz, that's not going to be a violation of leisishchet al chametz dam zivchi. Rabbi Yechonam, he argues, he says, no, af b'she'in yimay bazar, even if those people are, that chametz is not there in the Azar, and maybe back home, it's still going to be a violation of the Isser. So which the Gemara asks, b'may kamifki, what are they arguing about, if it has to be in the Azar or not? So, ilayim ba'al b'samach kamifki, if you say that they're arguing regarding, when it says in the Pasuk, al chametz, that if that means that it has to be nearby, that is, any time it says in Torah al, that it means nearby, as the Pasuk in Bamidbar Perek Bey says, v'olav mati Menashe, that near it was the tribe of Menashe, so that al means nearby, that he held that it says al chametz, it means it has to be nearby the chametz. So, l'sishchet al chametz means to be, you can't slaughter when you have the chametz nearby, and therefore it's only in Isra if it's with it, if it's with them in the Azar. Rabbi Yechon Tzav, he holds no, that the term al doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be nearby, and therefore you violate it even if it's back home. If that's the understanding of their machlekes, but the question is, if legal bachadism, they already argued about this somewhere else, why would they find another application to have the same machlekes regarding that? It's not like we learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Menachos. Hashoichet toide lifnim. The Mishnah teaches that if someone slaughters his carbon toide inside the Azara where it's supposed to be slaughtered, however, the lachmi toida, the breads of the carbon toida, and that is, there's two components to the carbon toida. There's the carbon, which is the actual animal, and then there's the breads of the carbon toida. Now, regarding the hektish, the sanctification of the breads of the carbon toida, from the moment that the person designates these breads at the lachmi toida, it acquires a kedusha, or what's called kedusha's dam. Has monetary sanctity, which means that it's forbidden to eat and to have anah. However, it doesn't yet have a physical sanctity. And therefore, what's the difference between monetary and physical? If it becomes tameh, these breads, they could still be redeemed and become deconsecrated. And however, but from the moment that the actual animal is slaughtered, the carbon toida, that then gives a sanctification of physical sanctity to the breads, which then it will become pasul if it's full yoyim, or if someone of a Mechutzi Kippurim touches it, and will have the psul of lina being left overnight, if it becomes tameh, it has to be burnt. Like the Pasuk says, al zevach ha-toyde chalis, which the Gemara learns in Masechtas Menachos to mean that the carbon is on the zevach, to teach you that the breads are not called a carbon only with the zvicha, only with the slaughtering of the carbon toyde itself. So regarding that halacha, of the breads, which again, they acquire their physical sanctity only with the slaughtering of the carbon toida. So the Mishnah Masechtas Menachos says that if someone is slaughtering the carbon toida where it's supposed to be inside by the Beis HaMikdash. But however, the breads themselves are chutz l'chaimah. They're outside of the walls. Then l'kiddush alechem. So then the bread, since it's not where it's supposed to be at the time when the physical sanctity is chal, that it acquires that sanctity, it's not there, it's outside. So it will not acquire that physical sanctity. That is the Kedusha Zaguf. Now, to understand what was this case of the bread outside, there's a machlekes. My chutz l'chaimah. What does it mean outside of the wall? Which wall? Where is it? Shabbi Yechon Amar Yechonin says, chutz l'chaimah is Beis Pagi. We're talking about outside of the walls of Beis Pagi, which was a place that was outside of Yerushalayim. When it's outside of Beis Pagi, that's a place where you're not allowed to even eat kachim kalam. If it went out of there, then it's going to be invalid because there most definitely it's not acquiring physical sanctity with the shechita. Aval chutz l'chaimah is hazara, but if it's only outside the walls of the courtyard, now although it's not exactly where it, together with the carbon at the time when the carbon is being slaughtered, however, since it's in a place where it's still kosher, it didn't leave Yerushalayim where it could be consumed, therefore the halacha is kaddish, the breads will acquire sanctity. And Rabbi Yechonin says clearly that you don't need to have al for it to be nearby. The breads could be even outside of the Azar. Pshim Melakashama, he interprets the Mishnah Masechtas Nachas. Afil chutz l'chaim es azar le'kadosh, that even if it's only outside of the walls of the courtyard, it really will not acquire this physical sanctity. And that's what he says. Chutz l'chaim means not outside of the walls of Yerushalayim, but outside the walls of the courtyard. So we see that Rabbi Shimon Lakish holds beaten al basamach, that al means to say that it has to be al zevach, has to be near the carbon itself, has to be inside the courtyard. And therefore, again, what the Gemara is asking is, why would we need them to argue here regarding the chametz of this Isser, of slaughtering the carbon pesach al chametz, if we already know that machlek is from the carbon toide with its chalas, and therefore we wouldn't say that this is the same machlek is. Ella, rather, the Gemara says that over here by chametz, b'hasra safek kamefuki. What they're arguing about is regarding a warning of violating a transgression that's out of doubt. And that is, there is no malchus that a person could acquire, that a person could get for violating an isser, only if he gets a warning. Now, when people are warning this person that don't slaughter your animal, this Karban Pesach, because you still have chametz. So if we see him have chametz, it's right there in the Azara, and we warn him, so that's a definite asra, and he's going to get malchus. But if not, that's what's called asra safik. It's a doubtful asra. Now, even if we ultimately find that he had in his house chametz, however, since we didn't know, that's considered hasra safik, and that's not a full-fledged hasra. Now, Rabbi Yochanan holds that hasra safik is called a hasra, and therefore, if we ultimately find he had in his house chametz, he's going to be chayiv, even if it was in the house. Whereas Rabbi Shimon Lakish holds that no, hasra safik is not considered hasra. That's why it has to be with him in the Azara to know that it's hasra zvaday, and that's what they're arguing about. On that, the Gemara asks again, how could you say that's the explanation of the machlekes? That we already heard that machlekes from them a different time. They wouldn't say it again in a different application. Like we learned, if a person takes an oath that I am going to eat this bread by the end of the day, I'm going to eat it today. And the day passed, and you know what? He violated his oath. He did not eat that piece of bread. So Rabbi Yechon v'Shimon ben Lakish, they both say the halacha is that ain't a loike, that the person does not get lashes for violating that issa of the shvur. However, they argue about the reason of that. Rabbi Yechon Amar, he says, ain't a loike, you know why? Mishum dehava lilav shein b'maisa. It's a negative prohibition that has no action. V'cholav shein b'maisa ain't loike nilav. Any negative prohibition that here it just happened by itself when the clock ticked past the day, then that was the violation because he didn't eat, but I didn't do anything. It was a passive violation. A passive violation, there's no malchus. It has to be a lav sheyesh b'maisa that you're doing an action. Aval, however, hasra safik shema hasra, and the fact that there's a doubtful warning, as we're going to explain regarding Rabbi Shimon Lakish's opinion, the fact that it's doubtful, that's not a problem. Hasra safik would be considered hasra that you would get malchus if it actually had a maisa. Whereas Rabbi Shimon Lakish Amar, he says, ain't a loika, you don't get malchus, and the reason is mishum dehavale hasra safik, because it's a doubtful hasra, and that is because when they're warning him, you got to eat your bread today, you know what, the day's almost over and you're going to be violating your shvua. Now, maybe he's going to violate it, maybe he's not going to violate our warning, because there's still time of the day, we don't know. He could still quickly eat that bread the second before, and we can't get him that second before. And since it's a doubtful asra, when we're warning him, it's not a, we don't know for sure that he's going to do it. And v'asra asafik, l'ishma asra, a doubtful asra is not considered a proper warning, and that is why the person will be exempt from malchus. Aval, but regarding Rabbi Yechanan's opinion that lav shame but maisa loikin love, from the fact that there's no action, that's not a reason to be exempt. You would be liable for lash for that. However, again, it's because of hasra suffix. So they argue on each other's opinion. They say different reasons, and they argue in the other one's reason why you're going to be pater. Now the problem is, so we have clearly their machlekes about hasra suffix if it's hasra na. So we wouldn't need them to say it again by our case of shechne karban pesach on chametz. So Ami, they said, l'olam, truthfully, it's like the first interpretation that we said. Bi'al b'samach k'mifugi, they're arguing about if when it says al chametz, it has to be near the chametz. Utsrichen, still we need to have them, their machlekes regarding both by chametz and by the case of lach meitaydi, where we said that same machlekes, do the breads have to be near it in the azara or even outside of it? Why do we need it? Di'if ligulin chametz, because if they would have argued regarding our case of chametz, havimin, I would have thought to say, ba'huho dekamer Rabbi Yechanan, only in that case of chametz is Rabbi Yechanan say, dulei bein al basamach, that al doesn't mean over here that you need the chametz near it in the azara, it could even be back home. Pshem de isahu, because intrinsically it is a prohibition. And that is, v'cholhecha de isa isa, wherever it is, it is. It says, don't slaughter al chametz when you have chametz. Now, I don't care, it doesn't have to be near here, it could be anywhere. Avale inyin mekadesh lechem, but regarding sanctifying the bread, when you're slaughtering the carbon taida, like kadesh el b'fnim, that regarding that halacha that it's only sanctified when it's inside the azara, maybe they would say that he does agree to Rish Lakish that it has to be al b'samach, has to be near it inside the Beis HaMikdash. And the reason is the isa gavoy kadesh, because if it's inside the azara, then it becomes sanctified. Eloi loy kadesh, if it's not, it's not, because midah have a kli sharis, it's similar to the halacha of kli sharis, of the vessels that were used in the Beis HaMikdash, where that sanctifies things that touch it. As the Pasuk says, kol negei behem yikdash, whatever touches the vessels in the Beis HaMikdash become holy. And however, it only sanctifies things that enter inside of them, has to be on it. And therefore, that same principle would apply regarding the geographic location of the Beis HaMikdash, which it sanctifies things, but it has to be inside of it. There, maybe I would say that Rabbi Yochanan would agree it has to be there based on that principle, just like Kli Sharis. And Tzricha, that's why I needed him to say that even by Chametz, that even by Lach Meitel, that no, it's not true, it doesn't have to be there, it could be throughout Yerushalayim. And that will be Iyash. I mean, if I said the reverse, Lein Mekadosh Lechem, regarding the sanctification of the bread, there I would have mentioned this machlokes regarding Al B'Samech. Havmina, I would have thought to say, Behach Kam Reb Shem B'Lakish to be an Al B'Samech, that only there he says that it has to be nearby the Karban Toide itself. And this for the same logic, but in reverse, T'i'i say Gavoy Kaddish. If it's inside, then it becomes holy. Eloi Loi Kaddish. If it's not, it's not going to become holy. But regarding the halach of chametz, regarding that if it has to be in the Azara when you're slaughtering the Karban Pesach or not, he would agree to Rabbi Yochanan to be in Al B'Samech, that you don't need it to be there. D'isuruhu, because it's a violation, it's a prohibition. Cholecha, D'isi'isa, wherever it is, and therefore tzricha, that's why we need it, because each one, we would say that the other opinion would agree to that, because there's more reason to say that it has to be inside, near it, by the Taida, and more reason to say by Chametz that it doesn't have to be, and that's what we had to say, but ultimately it's the same machlokes regarding if Al, when it says in the Pasuk Al, does it mean it has to be nearby? Now, related to this topic, the Gemara brings, Baimene Rav Oishe Mirabami. Rav Oishe asked from Abami, like Rashi explains, that what was obvious to Rish Lakish that we had mentioned before, that's Chayiv, he asked a question. And that is regarding what we had discussed before. Regarding this Isra of what our Mishnah was speaking about, Leisishchet Achametz, Dam Zivchi, Ein Loi L'Sheichet. If, let's say, the one who's slaughtering does not have Chametz, V'yesh Loi L'Echad Mimnei Chabur. However, one of the people of the group do have. So you would think the Pasuk says, Leisishchet Achametz, Dam Zivchi, that the one who's slaughtering can't have Chametz. But let's say the Sheichet does not have, but one of the people of the group does have. Maha, what's the Halacha? So again, although Rish Lakish took for granted that it will be Chayiv, he asked this question. So Amalei, so Rabami responded to him, Mik siv leisishchet al chantzecha? Does it say you shouldn't slaughter on your chametz? Leisishchet al chametz ksiv? It says you shouldn't slaughter when there's chametz around. And therefore you're going to be chayiv, because as long as one of the people the group has, it doesn't have to be your own chametz, it's going to be a violation. So he said to him, Ihachi, if that's the case, it just says al chametz, which sounds like any chametz, afil le'echad b'seifo oilin, then even if anyone at the other end of the world, in other words, someone that's not part of the group, nami, that if he's also there in the Azara at that time, so the one that's slaughtering at that time, if they warn him, then he's going to be violating that Isra, even though he's not part of the Chabura? So Amalei said to him, no. Amakra, the Pasuk says, le'sishchat v'lo yolin. It says you shouldn't slaughter, which was this Isra of slaughtering when you still have chametz. And then in the same pasuk, it says, Layal, you should not leave over the Karban Pesach past the time that it's allowed to be around, which that's a hekesh. Le'sishchet al chametz, that this Isra of slaughtering the Karban Pesach on the chametz, are hanach dekaimi la mishum Layal, are for those people that have the prohibition of leaving over the Karban Pesach past its designated time, which are all the people of the group that are part of this Karban Pesach. They have the Isra of don't, you know, eat up the Karban Pesach in the time. In other words, don't be all in it, because then you're going to have Nicer, which is going to be the violation of Baal Talon. And therefore, again, it's only for the people of the Chabura that are in Layolin that the Isra of Leisishchet al Chametz applies. But it's not only the Chametz of the Sheikhet, it's any of a Chametz of any of the people of the Chabura. Now, based on this Drasha, that we're comparing it to Lina, Amar Papa, Papa says, Hilkach, therefore, if that's true, Koyin Hamakter Esachelev, regarding the Koyin that's sacrificing the sacrificial fats that are brought on the Mizbeach of the Karban Pesach, regarding Chametz that he has at the time when he's sacrificing these parts, as Rashi explains, we're obviously talking about that no one else from the Chabura had Chametz at the time when the slaughtering was happened. And because if that was the case, if anyone had from the group at the time of the Shechita, we already said that itself would have already been the Isser. So, however, the Kohen that's sacrificing it, he has Chametz only at the time. He's the one, no one else in the group, he's doing the Avodah, he has, at the time that he's doing the Akhtara, he has Chametz. The halacha would be, Oivir Balaisase, that he would be violating this negative prohibition of Leisishchet al Chametz Dam Zivchi. Now, although the Pasuk only says Leisishchet, that you're not allowed to slaughter, and he's not slaughtering, And we only know Zrika, throwing the blood, that's included, as we had mentioned before, from the Mechilta, from the says in the Pasuk, Dam Zivchi. However, Haktara, the sacrificing, is also included. And that's because what he was bringing from the Drasha of Papa that we had just said before, from the fact that we compare Leisishcha to Leyolin, which means to say that any one of the Avodas that would have this warning, this Isser of leaving over till the next morning, are included in this Isser of al chametz, of being done al chametz. And therefore, haktara, which is also not allowed to be left over till the following morning, is also included in this isser. And that, as the Gemara says, hoyel v'yeshne b'chlal halon nesimurin, that since there's an isser, I'm also leaving over the sacrificial parts to the next morning, as the pasuk says, lo yolin chelev chagi, that you should not leave over the fats of my carpet till the next day. So since it's included in lo yolin, therefore it's included in the iser of lo sishchet al chametz, and therefore even if only the kohen that's doing the haktara of the chelev will also be violating if he has chametz. So the Gemara says, Tanika v'asei de Rav Papa. We have a brisa that supports Rav Papa. And once we quote the brisa, the Gemara will ultimately ask a contradiction from a different brisa on halachas of that brisa. So the brisa that supports Rav Papa is, Hashoichet es ha-pesach al ha-chametz. If someone slaughtering the carbon pesach when he has chametz in his possession, Oiva b'leisa say, he's over on this negative prohibition of l'sishchet al-chametz dam zivchi. Now, Emesai, when is this? That's bizman shehu l'sheichet. That's as long as either that the sheichet has chametz, oi l'zarka, the one that's throwing blood, as we had mentioned from dam zivchi, oi l'echad min nechabur, or if anyone from the group has chametz. Now, however, if anybody else, you know, on the other end of the world, in other words, someone not from the group has, in Zakuk, like, we're not required to involve ourselves with him, and it's not a problem. We're not going to be over if he has chametz at that time. Now, the Brisa continues, says, the Echad HaSheichet, and this would apply, it's not only during the process of slaughtering, that if any of these people have chametz that you're violating, it's even during the slaughtering, the Echad HaZarik, and even if someone that's, when he's throwing the blood, the Echad HaMakter, and even someone as he's sacrificing the sacrificial part, which this is the part that supports Rav Papa, Chayiv, that's going to be a violation of this Isra. Now the Brisa continues, however, aval hamolik es ha'oif, but regarding someone that does the process of malika, which is chops off the bird's head from behind with the long nails of the thumb of the kayin, that if regarding the malika of the oif, which is talks about when do you bring an oif as a mechusik kippurim, someone that's still lacking atonement for what he has to bring his karbanos for to be able to be permitted to consume kadshim, if that is done by arba aser on the 14th of Nisan, which we had mentioned of Nintesa Medalov, where it's kosher to bring these karbanos of Mechusi Kippurim after the Tamash Abin Harbayim, which is the time of slaughtering the Karban Pesach, Eina Oiva B'loi Klum. A person will not be violating this Isser of Loi Sishchet Al Chametz Dam Zivchi if he's doing the Malika of this Oif of Mechusi Kippurim after the Tamash Abin Harbayim, even though he has Chametz at that time. Now, the Gemara later on will establish that this is going like Reb Shimon, that he says that a person is chayiv for other karbanas, which would include even this oif that we're talking about, the malika, on the Yom Tov Pesach. However, here the reason why we're exempt on Erev Pesach is because on the 14th of Nisan, you're not chayiv, as we mentioned on Mishnah, on other karbanas. Now, it's not really just by oif that we're talking about, but the reason that Rashi explains that we spoke about a case of oif is because it's not the norm to shecht a carbon during the time of when the Pesach is slaughtered, which is after Chatzayis and Erev Pesach. The only one that is the norm to do is a carbon of Mechusi Kippurim, that you're lacking atonement, and that's the reason that I have to bring it now, so that then there's going to be Tahara, that I could eat the carbon Pesach in the evening. Now, the reason why that's why we said Oif is because most of Mechusi Kippurim's of lacking atonement, those karbanis for those type of people, are Oif, which is by the case of a Zav and a Zava, a Yeled, this woman that gave birth, even a wealthy woman, and the Mitzari, that's an Ani, all these type of people bring Oif, and that's why we mention it Oif. And the reason why we're mentioning Bechlal this case is because of Mechusi Kippurim that are brought on Erev Pesach, that type of carbon is going to be exempt if there's being brought on Chametz. And that's because the Gemara will explain, that's going like Reb Shimon, who explains in our Mishnah, although one is liable for other Karbanos when there's Chametz, that's only on Pesach, but on Erev Pesach and the time when carbon Pesach could be brought, then there's no violation for any of these other Karbanos. So that was the brisa that we had introduced as a raya to Rav Papa, that even if the makter, again based on the hekesh of loyalin of loyseshchad al chametz, that even the one that's doing the haktaris imurim, which is applicable to loyalin, will also violate this issa. Now the Gemara asked Reminer, but as a contradiction from another brisa, this brisa says hashichet es ha-pesach al chametz. If someone slaughters a carbon pesach when he has chametz in his possession, Oiva b'leisa says he's going to violate this negative prohibition. Vihudaime, as he says in our Mishnah, afa tamed. Even the carbon tamid of the Bein Arbaim of Erev Pesach will also be a violation of this Isra. So Amr Loi, they said to him, no. Loi Amr El Pesach Levad. They said this Isra of Lesishchad Chametz is when you're slaughtering is only by the carbon Pesach, not by the carbon tamid. Now the Braisa continues and says, Emesai, when is it that you're over this Isra of slaughtering when you have the Chametz in your possession? Bisman sheyesh l'sheichet, that's when either that the one who's slaughtering has chametz, or lezarik, or the one that's throwing the blood has chametz, or le'echem nechabur, or anyone from the group has chametz at the time of the shechita. However, if someone else and the other end of the world, meaning someone not from the group, has chametz in zakalai, we're not necessary to deal with him, and that's not going to be our violation. And then the Brisa continues and says, and ve'echra sheichet, and whether it's someone that's slaughtering the Karban Pesach, ve'echra zarek, and even someone that's throwing the blood of the Karban Pesach, ve'echra moilik, and even someone that's doing malika of a chata sa'if, of mechusa kippurim, ve'echra maza, and even someone that's throwing the blood of the chata sa'if, where it says in the pasuk, ve'hiza midam ha'chatas, and obviously this is talking about a chata sa'if, because we already said zarek, which is by the animal, the word maza is the term that's used by the chata sa'if, regarding any one of these people, chayiv, they're going to be chayiv. Now, this end of this brice is mashma, that you're over even on other karbanas, because obviously we're talking about a chata sa'if, which is not the Karban Pesach, and it sounds like that one will violate that iser, which the Gemara later on will pose a contradiction to the beginning of this brice, which says, lo emre l'pesach v'vad, that we only said the iser is by Karban Pesach, not by other isurim. But anyways, the brice continues and says, but if someone is taking the fistful of the mincha on the Yom Tov of Pesach when he still has chametz in his possession, say that he will not violate the negative prohibition, because kemitza, this taking the fistful, is definitely not included in leisishchat. It's not a shechita. And hamakter esimurun, if someone that's sacrificing the sacrificial parts of the carbon, whether it's the carbon Pesach on the 14th of Nisan, or it's on the Yom Tov of Pesach regarding other karbanas, ina over b'leisa say, he will not violate this negative prohibition of leisishchat al chametz dam zivchi. Now we continue on top of Samach Dal and Alf, where the Gemara asks two problems, two contradictions between these two braises. First of all, kasha malika amalika. We have the contradiction of malika, which now the Gemara assumes that the braisa, the second braisa, is talking about that you'll be chayiv on the malika of when it's on the 14th of Nisan, Erev Pesach, which the first braisa said that you're going to be exempt. And here we're saying that you're going to be chayiv on the malika like other karbanas, and also because it considers it like shechita of leisishchat al chametz. So that's one contradiction. Is malika this iser or not? And also the second contradiction is, kasha haktar, we have the contradiction of the sacrificing of the sacrificial parts, which the first braisa says you're chayiv, a haktara on the sacrificing of the sacrificial parts, where the second braisa says that you're going to be potter. So before the Gemara answers the question, they say, wait a minute, l'tameich, according to your opinion that you're asking on this contradiction, tikshilach hi gufa, what do you mean? There's a problem, there's an internal contradiction in the second braisa itself. Diktani, because as we had just mentioned before, first the braisa says, lo yamar el v'pesach levad, that we only said the iser of leisishchat al chametz regarding only the Karban Pesach, but regarding other karbanos, you're not going to be chayiv for this iser. V'hadatani, and then later on, the braisa then says that echad hashechet, this applies to anyone that slaughters, v'echad hazarek, anyone that throws, v'echad ha'moilik, which again is not the Karban Pesach, v'echad ha'mazin, someone that throws the blood of the chatzis ha'if, and that's shar karbanos, and it's saying that you will violate the iser of leisishchat al chametz. How do we understand that? So therefore, Ella, rather, the Gemara says to answer the contradictions of the brises and to answer the second brise itself, is that Havaha, both of these brises are Reb Shimon, they're going like Reb Shimon. And that is, that he says, Reb Shimon of our mission, that he says that one is going to be exempt on other karbanas that are brought on the 14th of Nisan. However, he does say that if you bring other karbanas on Pesach when you still have chametz, then you will violate this Issa of Lesishchad al chametz dab sifchi. And that is the resolution of these two brises, as is the second brise itself, which we had just said there's a contradiction that itself is, as follows. Malika, Malika Leikasha, regarding the contradiction of Malika, if that's a violation or not, that's not difficult. Because although they're both going like Reb Shimon, Khan, the first brise that says you're going to be exempt, is Toma Barba Asr on the 14th of Nisan, has the first brise that says explicitly that this Malika to be exempt on is on the 14th of Nisan. Now, although it says regarding Oif of Malika, that truthfully, as what we're going in the opinion of Reb Shimon, it's regarding all karbanas. And as we explained before, the only reason why it says it regarding the Malika of Oif is because that is the norm, what you would be bringing after Tamashal Ben Nebayim on Erev Pesach, which is only for Mechutzi Kippurim, which again, most of Mechutzi Kippurim are Oif. And which that, it resolves even the first half of the second brice itself too, which was the last point we had mentioned, that it itself is a contradiction, and that we had said that this Isser of Leisishchad Adam Chametz is only on the Karban Pesach, that's also Reb Shimon saying it, and that was in reference to the 14th of Nisan, which as Reb Shimon said in that Mishnah, which is what the first Brice is saying, that Isser is only regarding a Karban Pesach, again on the 14th of Nisan. However, Kan, over here, regarding the Seifa of the second Braisa, which said that it applies even to Sheikhid and Zarik and Moilik and Mazah, that is B'chayla Shel Moed. That was talking about on Chol HaMoed, that was talking about on the Yom Tov Pesach. Where there is what we say, that there is a violation even for a Moilik, just like someone that does a Shechita, because it's not just Shechita, it's any one of these processes that one would be Chayiv, which is the equivalent of Shechita. The Malika by an Oif is the equivalent of Shechita. Or, and we had Ribuyim for Zrika too, and Ve'id Ve'id Reb Shimon, and therefore it's no contradiction on the two Brises. They're both like Reb Shimon, which Reb Shimon had made that difference in our Mishnah, that regarding other Karbanis on the 14th of Nisan, you're going to be exempt, because that's the time of when you chayiv for the Karban Pesach, and that's what the first Brises said, and that's what the first half of the second Brises said. And however, Reb Shimon had said regarding other Karbanis on Pesach, which is when you're not chayiv for Pesach, it's only on your Dal Nisan, then you will be chayiv another Karbanis, and that's what the end of the second Brises says, that you'll even violate this Issa B'leis Tishchad al-Chametz regarding Malika. Now, Haktara, Haktara, Namalei Kasha. Regarding the contradiction of the, if you're chayiv on the sacrificial part of Hamin Chametz, that's also not a contradiction, because Tanoim, it's a Machlekes Tanoim, and that is these two anonymous Tanoim of these Brises, they both hold like Reb Shimon, but they argue the ikad makash haktara l'shchita. There is one opinion that equates the haktara to the shchita, and that is the first price, as we had said. That's essentially what Rav Papa was saying, and that is. But regarding the avoda, the blood, since there's a halana by imurim, we said there's an isra of loyalin for the sacrificial parts, as it says, even regarding chaylev chagi, and therefore, just like by shchita, we say there's an isra of leisishchad chametz, and it says loyalin. Therefore, we equate the two, and therefore, since there's loyalin on the sacrificial parts, that's why it's going to be included in that isra. Whereas ve'ikaman de loy makish, however, there are those that do not compare it, and therefore, since the Torah only says shchita leisishchad, and regarding zrika, that we have a riboy, as we said, from dam sifchi. However, haktara, the sacrificing of the sacrificial parts, that they do not learn this hekesh of leisishchad to loyalin, and therefore that price says that one is going to be exempt on the haktara. But again, they're both like Reb Shimon, and therefore there is no contradiction between these two prices. They're just arguing that point. If we actually do make the hekesh in regards to this point of loyalin, that it's even for things that have halana, which is for the emurim of the chaylev, if we compare it to leisishchad of al chametz dam zivchi, to say that we violate this isra having chametz even during the haktara.